Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to this.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so glad you've joined us today for this exciting show, our new show launch of The Voice of the Voiceless, The Original Intent, with Tiffany and Heather. Heather won't be with us today, but we have Tiffany, and Tiffany's going to be joined by Cameron, who also had a very interesting story to share with us, as his faith also came under attack in his school by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You know, listeners, there's a battle waging in our nation where our very foundations are being challenged and redefined. The result could be a very different country from what the founders envisioned, and our future generations will know no freedom. So today, learn and listen as our younger generations share their thoughts and feelings on the state of our nation, faith and education, and what effects they are experiencing as they struggle to make sense of the anti-Christian bias in our education system and the new Common Core mandated standards. So we're going to get right into our show today, and I just want to remind you listeners, we do this show once a month. This is our second show with the girls, and this is so exciting because we're finally giving a voice to the younger generations, and we want to hear what they have to say so we can listen and learn from them. And then perhaps we can make their future much brighter and much better and definitely freer. So with that being said, let's get right underway and let me introduce our host for tonight, Tiffany. And then Tiffany can introduce her guest, Cameron, and we'll get right into the show and listen to what the kids have to say to us. So Tiffany, do you want to take it away?
I can.
Uh-huh. So, and I think we should open up in prayer. And then get started.
Okay.
Would you like Dawn to open it in prayer, or do one of you guys want to?
Let's let Dawn. I feel like she should today.
Okay. Well, Dawn, would you be so kind as to open us in prayer today and get this show started right?
I'd be honored. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and ask for your hedge of protection around this new show, around the future of America, these young people, all that they are willing to stand in the gap for your kingdom, for their right to practice their religion freely and openly. We ask for your hedge of protection around our military, both here and abroad, and their families, and to continue to protect all those people that are fighting for freedom and liberty in the nation that was founded on your principles, your values, your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so today we have Cameron, who is from Rusk, Texas, I believe.
Oh, no.
I'm saying that right?
Yeah, but so, rather don't say the states and then, okay, here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Cameron, you want to tell us about yourself?
Oh, yes. I apologize.
Yes, my name is Cameron Franks. I am a senior at Rusk High School, but I just wanted to say thank you for having me on the show, and I just want to, as y'all were praying, I was praying in my mind that God will have lay a hedge of protection around not just myself, but all four of us or five of us, however many are on the show as we speak. And also, I want to give a big thanks to those that are listening to the show. It's just it amazes me what God can do through y'all's ministry. I mean, just not just my ministry, but y'all's ministry. I mean, there's so many. Oh my gosh, there's just so many different things that we can. There's so many different tasks that we can take upon. It's just we have to pray about it, and we have to just pray and pray and hope. Have hope that whatever God has in store for us, that's what we will choose to uptake and grasp. But anyway, yes, like I said, Tiffany was saying that I am her guest, and once again, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. And I do apologize. I wish Jeremy, he's a fellow friend of mine that's helping me with this ministry. I wish he could be on the show with us today, but he's out fighting the fire as we speak. He's a fireman at Dixie Fire Department here in Tyler, Texas, and just I just want y'all to keep them in your prayers.
We sure will. So, tell us exactly what happened. Like, how did all this start?
All right. Okay. Well, I'll break it down for you. I'll give you the long version because that's the best version. Anyway, I was sitting in my economics class about a month or two months ago, and my economics teacher, every morning he'll open up with a discussion of a topic from today's morning news. Well, anyway, he said, guys, I'm going to change it up a little bit. He said, instead of talking about the worldly news, I'm going to talk about both the local news, what's happening here in our own town, in our community. And so he approached me privately after class, and he said, hey, he said, I know you're a Christian man, and I know you have Christian morals and you want to follow those morals, but he said, Cameron, I have a feeling that you're going to be one of the most strongly persecuted Christians in the school as I speak. He said that one of my sophomore chemistry teachers I had my sophomore year, she had this poster, and it's been hanging in her room behind her, the backside of her door, for probably 4 to 5 years, and nobody has ever, I've never seen it, nobody's ever mentioned it or talked about it, she's never mentioned it. And well, anyway, one of her students this past year of 2013-2014, one of her fellow students took a picture of the poster privately, he emailed a link to her mother of the picture, and her mother directly emailed it to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Well, about 1 to 2 weeks ago, my superintendent, Scott Davis, got an email of a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation from one of their lawyers stating that if you don't correspond with what we have to tell you, then we're going to file a lawsuit against your school. And so basically the letter stated that any and all type of religious symbols or wording or text, posters, magnets, versus anything needed to be removed from the campus, or basically from the district at once. And so I was like, it worried me because I was like, is that just for teachers or is that directed towards students as well? And nobody ever told me anything. And so I prayed about it, and I was like, Lord, this can't be happening. I mean, I've heard about stuff like this happening around the world and around the nation, but nothing like this. This can't happen here in Rusk. It just can't. Well, he basically slapped me in the face. He said, Cameron, wake up. This is happening. This is the time to take a stand. You need to do something about it, because I know you want to follow me and you want to do my will, but you need to stand up right now. And so I was worried. I was nervous. I was scared. I was lost. I just didn't know what to do. And so I went to my brother and I said, Aaron, I said, have you heard about what's happening? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what do you think we should do? And he said, I don't know. He said, just pray about it and God, he'll give you the right answer. And so once again, I prayed the following night as I went to bed and as I woke up. And once I made it to school, I jumped out of my pickup, and one of my friends walked up to me and he said, dude, did you hear what's happening? And I said, yeah. And, I said, I got an idea. I said, you know, I've led FCS, which is Fellowship of Christian Students. It's just a little ministry that Bible study we'll have Tuesday mornings. And I'm also the band chaplain. Well, anyway, I said, are you afraid to stand up for what you believe in? Are you afraid to come to me with your problems? Are you afraid to go to church? Are you afraid to speak of Jesus' name in the school or outside of school? And he said, yes. I said, why? I said, you shouldn't be afraid of speaking God's name. I mean, you shouldn't. And he said, I'm afraid of my friends judging me and persecuting me. I said, I've walked our school hallways for the past 4 years. I basically walked right beside you my whole life with the word hypocrite, self-righteous, non-Christian painted on my back whenever that is just all a lie. People are afraid of me coming up and speaking to them, just even saying hi. They're like, oh, that's the Christian kid. That's the Jesus freak. I'm going to stay away from him. Or, hey, let's get away from him. He's no good. But all I have to bring to you is good news, and that's the gospel. That's the word of Jesus Christ. I mean, I hate walking the halls, and I try to speak to people and tell them about Jesus, but they deny me, and they deny what I have to say to them, even if they give me the time to speak to them. But anyway, I'm trying not to ramble. But I said, hey, guys, how about I make a T-shirt? I said, if I make a T-shirt, would y'all wear it? If it portrayed a Christian message or a Christian view or a moral, would y'all wear that instead of having to deny God right then and there? And they said, yeah, we'll wear it. And I said, all right. I said, well, give me a few days, and I'll figure something out. And so I came up with the design, and I talked to my dad about it, and I said, hey, I said, you think we could get maybe 100 shirts, and once we wore them to school, maybe some kids would want to start wearing them? And he said, yeah, we can try that. And so we came up with some money, and we got about 75 to 100 shirts, and we just wore them to school one day, and everybody said, hey, that's a cool shirt, or hey, I like the message that shirt portrays. So they were like, can I get one? I'm like, well, yeah, but I said, I can't just give it to you for free. I mean, I wish I could, but I mean, I don't have that much money. And so they said, well, what's the meaning of the shirt? I said, the meaning of the shirt is, it's to stand up for, it's basically to stand up for what every Christian believes in. I mean, every Christian they're from some denomination, from some church, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist. They all believe in the God, but it's to basically help them out, to give them a reason to believe, to give them a chance to say, I can stand up for what I believe in. And but anyway, I broke down in tears. I mean, I was just so filled with joy that knowing that some of my friends wanted to stand up with me, just a few, but some of them wanted to. And so I was like, hey, maybe this can go a long way. And so I called my dad. I said, hey, I said, I have kids that want shirts. And I said, what are we going to do? And he said, I'll call Tara Hood, she's our assistant for Take a Stand for Jesus. And he said, I'll see if we can make an order for him and get prices and all that right away. And so we called her and contacted her, and she has an order form made for us. And so then we started dispersing the order forms around the community. local businesses, shops, cafes, stuff like that, school districts, and the word got out pretty quick.
Well, basically, I mean, I guess you could call it paparazzi or anything like that, publicity. That
didn't really expand until I was out at my farm one day doing some work for my grandpa, and my dad called me, and he said, hey.
He said, I need you to come to the house right away. I said, what for? He said, I need you to be there at 5 o'clock because I have Garrett Sanders from our local sister news station, KPK, Channel 56 in Tyler, Texas.
He was going to come down and do an interview. And so I was like, all right, I'll come down, I'll come on. And so I got there, and it was a great
experience.
He got pictures of the shirt, and he just basically was asking me questions about why are you doing this, how's the community reaching out to you? Are they behind you? Are they sticking up for you? Are they just degrading you? And I said, no, they're sticking up for me. And he just wanted to get the gist of the whole story. And so I told him. And well, then we sold about 200 shirts around that time. Well, about a week later, I got a call from Luskin from Fox 51, and they wanted to do an interview. So they came down, did another interview, and once again, it went well. We had a little more detail, and we were a little more organized, so we could give them more details about what was going on. And about a month later, I got probably 6 to 10 phone calls from news stations around Texas, some from Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arizona, saying that they got they knew what was going on. And I was like, man, I was just so amazed. I was like, how is this spreading like this? How did it escalate like this? And I knew that God, he had to receive all the glory for it because, God, he's just amazing. And I knew with God on your side, all things are possible. We had a moment of, we were just up to our elbows and knees in order forms and phone calls and Facebook messages and social media wise. Tara Hood, our assistant, she created a page. It's called Take a Stand for Jesus, We Won't Be Shaken. And as of now, it has about between 15 and 16,000 likes. And daily, we have about 4,000 people viewing the page daily. And so, that's 4,000 people looking at it every day. And some of the major posts like that basically gave the gist of what's happening. Why are we doing this? They're called insights, where you can pay like a certain amount of money per week, per time period to sort of publicize that post to get it out there a little more to the public. And I remember I did a little journal of how many people we've reached through that social media page on Facebook. And I think the highest number I've recorded was like 160,000 people. Not verbally like talk to them, but like 160,000 people have looked at that page. They've either read a post or saw a picture or a verse or a comment. And it's just the small things that really come to heart, that really touch my heart. It's not about the big things. It's not about the interviews. It's not about someone coming up to me and approaching me and saying, hey, here's $500 for a donation. It's not about me. It's about doing this for Jesus, and it's about sticking up for the kids. Basically, it's about sticking up for the voiceless. Like you and me, and we are the voice of the voiceless. There's hundreds, there's thousands,
there's millions of kids out there that
probably have the same problem as we do, as Tiffany and I do. And it's just going to take time for them to, for God to bring them either to us, or for God to say, hey, you're the voice of the voiceless, and you need to, it's time for you to stand up. And it'll happen. That day will come, judgment day will come, and God will come back, and he will say, it's time to go home. And it's just, the reason I'm doing this is because it's not just for me, but it's for what I believe, and it's my whole life. Me being a Christian, I wasn't saved until I was probably 12 years old. Now I was baptized, and I accepted Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And, I went to church, and I went to Sunday school, and ever since I was little, like even to this point, about probably 2 years ago, 2 years ago, my youth minister and my Sunday school teacher, they would talk about a story from the Bible like Noah's Ark or David in the lion's den, and sometimes I really wouldn't recall what they're talking about, and it broke my heart because they were surprised to know that they were like, wow, Henry, you've been a Christian for so long, or you've just blah blah blah, and you don't know about the story. I'm like, no, I mean, whenever I was younger, I was lost. I mean, I was a sinner, and I'm still a sinner today, but God gives us the opportunity to repent of our sins, and He forgives us for our sins every day. And
amen, Cameron. Could we ask you a quick question, Cameron? Two things. Uh-huh. What was the message on your T-shirt that you printed, and what was the prayer on the poster?
On the front of the T-shirt, it said...
And do me a favor, Cameron, if you can speak into your phone a little bit better. We're getting a little breakup on the line. And then slow down a little bit for the listeners.
On the front of the T-shirt, the message portrayed, it's a red, crimson red cherry T-shirt, and it has a picture of a guy standing with his arms wide open towards the sky in a Y shape, and then his shadow is a cross. Well, above that picture, it says, "Let God rule your world if you want God to rock your world." And that quote is from Tony Evans. And, Tony Evans, he's been a big inspiration to me. I mean, he's a really, really great pastor. But we got confirmation from him saying that, yes, we could use that quote on a T-shirt. And then on the back, the verse is Romans 8:31. And I apologize. I should know this verse by heart, but I really apologize I don't. But another verse that I really struggled with was I wanted to put it on the T-shirt, but there was something in my heart saying don't do it, and it's James 1:12, which says a man or woman who endures trials is blessed, because for when he or she passes the test, he or she will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him or her. And basically, that's just my life. That sums up everything. I mean, this world is not our home. Heaven's our home, and we're walking down the path, and this is basically the battlefield. These are the battlegrounds. This is the time to reach out and to take a stand and just to get a foothold and get ready for what's coming, because it's going to be big. And the message on the poster, the message, I think it talks about this poster is illegal in 51 countries and like 11 states. I dearly apologize. When it comes to the poster and visualizing it, I never really deeply visualized it, but if you go on the Facebook page, there should be a picture of it in the backdrop. And like you said, this is the time just to pray and to come together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, yes, I may never meet the people that I want to meet, but I mean, hey, that doesn't mean I can't shoot them a text or a Facebook message or give them a call and say, hey, I'm praying for you and I'm here, and although I haven't met you, I love you, and I just wanted you to know that, and if you ever need anything, give me a call. Or basically, just like the words that I'm speaking right now, that's the same for me. I mean, I struggle, and I mean, sometimes I might give y'all a call and say, hey, I need some help. But, yes, man, I do apologize. I wish, honestly, I'm sitting in my pickup truck on the side of the road right now. I mean, I don't have a poster or a T-shirt with me at the moment.
Okay, Cameron. Well, we won't push you on that subject. You know, we just were curious what the poster might have said, the prayer that was on it. But
I gotta say, I love really that you can't even remember what the poster said, because, you know, I've worked in activism for a long time. And people will say something to me about, oh, you must have seen such and such. And there's a lot of stuff I won't remember. And the point isn't to me to remember that. What I remember is being a Christian who feels like, you know, the heel of government's on my throat consistently. So I think the fact that you were willing to take this up at a point when everything in this country, especially in education, is running against you. Everything says just keep your mouth shut and push ahead forward and don't bring any extra attention on yourself, especially as a Christian. I am so amazed with every story I hear of young people that are willing to stand up and be counted and say, you know, hey, this is my fight. For every person this happens to, whether it's your teacher, your school, this is my fight. I'm a Christian. So I just want to applaud you even doing that and being so open about it. I just listening to your story, I got to say, almost brought me to tears because it's stuff like your story, Tiffany's story, Heather's story, that makes me actually believe in the possibility of a future for our country. So that's all I wanted to say.
And that's why we're, the two of you guys, that's why we're fighting and doing what we're doing is so that you, you know, hopefully with your help, we can secure a future for you guys of freedom and liberty. So go ahead. Tiffany, you want to go ahead now?
Yeah, okay, so after, like, everything that you've been through, everything that, you know, people have said about you, people that's turned your back on you, I mean, everybody that's doubted you completely, like, how do you feel about it now? Like, now that you're going through it and you're kind of on the upside of things, like, how do you feel? Are you feeling, like, nervous and, like, not knowing what to do next, or are you just kind of going with the flow, or just proud of what?
That's a great question.
Oh, man, I have a good answer.
Cameron, try to speak into the phone, honey, so you're a little bit muffled. Try to speak into the phone.
How about now?
Go ahead.
This is pretty personal, but I'll tell you anyway, because, I mean, it needs to be said. My junior year was a very tough year for me. Just friends, like with relationships and friendships, and anyway, that's whenever all this really took a turn for the worst. That's because my junior year, that's whenever I got elected to be the band chaplain and to give invocation and prayers when I was able to and able to, and to lead FCS, Fellowship of Christian Students, give Bible studies and lessons. Well, anyway, a lot of my friends, they just, it's like they would extradite me. They would just, they called me a loner, an outcast. They would stay away from me. If whenever I was around them, they would say you're making the situation or the conversation awkward or socially awkward. You're socially awkward. And I was driving to Jacksonville, Texas, to my grandmother's house to pick up a coffee table. And right in front of my own eyes, probably 200 to 300 feet ahead of me, there was a car wreck. I witnessed it. And so I did the right thing. I pulled over and I rendered aid as much as I could. Well, I was talking with the state trooper, and I said, sir, what technically happened? And he said that there was a 17-year-old male who swerved across the median and clipped an oncoming car, and it was an elderly couple. And I said, well, I mean, he must have had a malfunction with the steering or something to do that. He said, no, the kid was trying to commit suicide. And, it tore me up because I was fixing to do the exact same. I was so torn down spiritually, emotionally. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I didn't have anybody to turn to. I didn't have an accountability partner, nothing. I mean, it was hopeless for me. And so I was like, you know what? This is it. I mean, and I prayed, and I mean, I doubted God, which I never should have, and I honestly was fixing to just take my life right there. But then whenever I witnessed that and I saw that, and after I spoke with the state trooper, I got my pickup and I cried for about 2 hours. My grandmother called me and she said, what's taking you so long? I said, Grandma, it'll be all right. I'm running a little late. I'll be there in a little bit. And so I got there and I told her about it. And the sadness that and the sorrow I saw on her face and in her eyes, it filled me with a lot of guilt. And whenever I pray that night, I spoke with God, and I said, God, thank you for keeping me here on this earth today, Lord. Because if I would have taken my life, that would have portrayed me as a greedful person and me being greedy just to take my life from my family and from others and from my friends whenever I never should have. Are y'all on there?
Yeah, I think we're all weeping. I cannot believe, Cameron, that you have been so open and that you would share something like that, but I got to tell you, really praise God that you did, because I'm going to bet just you opening up about this and talking about it's going to save a bunch of other kids.
Exactly. And just thinking if you would have taken your life, how much none of this probably would have happened. Like, you're the reason for this. There's a reason why you did not follow through with it. There's a reason why you're still here. There's a reason why you're doing this. And, I mean, if you wasn't on this earth anymore, then that just wouldn't happen. I mean, so many people would not be saved, and so many other things would not have happened.
Amen to that, Tiffany.
Do you feel that way, Cameron? Do you kind of get it now? Like, you know, even at my age, which is not old but not young, I totally get, like, when I'm going through something really heavy and things still get, you know, slings and arrows and stuff shooting at you, especially if you stand up as a Christian. I always think now that there must be a reason that I'm going through this. What's the lesson? And there have been times I'm really frustrated because I feel like, please show me what the lesson is here, what I'm supposed to know, because this is so painful. But do you really get that now, that whole thing that happened was, you know, God saving you?
Yes. At first, like after that whole incident happened, I sort of was just, I was shocked. I mean, I was in a state of shock. I didn't really know what just happened. But then I was getting back into church and I was listening to what God had to say. And I finally realized that He just saved me. He saved my life. He kept me. I mean, and then it really just, like Tiffany said, if I would have taken my life, this probably would have never happened. But whenever I realized that God kept me here on this earth for a reason, I knew that there was a reason, a big reason that was coming. Well, I was in church, probably 3 months ago. And my Sunday school teacher, she said, Cameron, she said, there's a revival coming, and it's going to be big, and you're going to be a part of it. And then this elderly woman from my church, well-known throughout the community, she said, she walked up to me, she said, Cameron, there's going to be something big happening, and you're going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I sort of shook her off. I was like, yeah, I believe it. Well, after this happened, I went to her house and I was like, Miss Laverl, yes, I do. I believe it. God is good, and I apologize for not believing, for doubting you at that time. And she said, Cameron, it's all right, because although you did have doubt in your heart, God, we have a merciful God, and He did portray mercy towards you. Sometimes I'll go throughout my day and I'll just be speechless at times. Like, I was mowing my yard yesterday, and I was just pushing the mower, just mowing, and I just started laughing uncontrollably. And I was like, okay, this is awkward, this is weird. And I stopped and I said, God, what was that all about? And he said, Cameron, he said, you don't realize it, do you? Do you not realize what you've done, like how you have helped me and how you're helping the nation and the world? And like I said, I was sort of in a little state of shock. I didn't really realize what I was doing or what was happening. But then whenever the community and just random people like I would see in Tyler or around the area, they would just come up to me and they'd say, thank you for what you're doing. And like this one woman, she's probably in her late 90s.
Let me interrupt you real quick here and just let you know that as you're talking, it's what came into my spirit before you even said it was God allowed you to see that accident because of where you were. He has a mission for you. You know, this is like Tiffany. I keep telling Tiffany that she has a ministry. God has a ministry for her. God has a ministry for you too. And he allowed you to see that accident to wake you up and bring you back. And then look at where he brought you today and even Tiffany now. And here we are on a radio show. So God has great plans for the both of you. And I just want you to know that. And we're honored to be able to be a small part of this, to give you guys a voice so that you can start sharing your feelings about everything that's going on. So praise God. I am just thrilled that you guys are doing this now. So go ahead, Tiffany and Cameron.
But I mean, I'm in the same boat as you are, Cameron. In 2010, I was telling Christina about this earlier. I was so sick. Like, literally, I came within 24 hours of dying two or three different times. Like, and I've been through surgeries, and the past 4 years have been up and down. Like, I've been in and out of the hospital, you know, and there's been times that I just want to give up. Like, I don't want to go through this anymore. I don't want to go through pain. You know, I don't want to go through it. And you got to stop and think, you know, there's a reason why you're still here. There's a reason why I didn't die on the operating table. There's a reason why I didn't bleed out. There's a reason why, you know, my mom thought that I needed to go to the hospital. So, and, you know, like I said, if neither one of us would have taken the time to stop and think, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should still be on here. Then none of this would have happened. There, you know, there's probably a chance that nobody's going to stand up for anything and everybody's going to keep their mouth shut and keep going. There's so many people that are not even, they're more like followers. There's not leaders. And there's so many of us that are not, they're too scared. We're too scared to stand up. We're too scared to say something. We just want somebody else to do it for us, and we want to go with the flow. And if we do that, then nothing's going to get done, you know?
Yeah.
So, amen.
And nothing's ever easy with God, is it? He doesn't make it easy. He never said he was going to give you a rose garden. He just said, be obedient and do what I ask you to do.
Amen to that. Amen.
I tell you what you're going to. But anyways, so do y'all have like any future plans from now on? Is there anything else that you're planning on doing? You know.
Right now, from the local perspective, like the local aspect of the community, order form wise, like giving out T-shirts and selling them, it's really calmed down a lot. I mean, it's calmed down greatly. Well, that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a time for us to relax a little bit and calm down, and it's a stress reliever. But then, in other words, it's like, it's saying, hey, we need to wake up. We need to get back on our feet and get back into this. Well, we're trying to expand locally a little more.
Hang on one second, Cameron. I think Jeremy might have come on. Jeremy, is that you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Who's this?
Jeremy.
Who?
Okay, that's good. Okay, we're in. I think we got him in. Jeremy, are you in here?
Yes, mic check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, we're good.
We're on air, Jeremy.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Tiffany and Cameron, would you like to introduce Jeremy? And we know he's a firefighter, but let's get into his part of this whole equation. So you guys bring us up to speed on Jeremy.
Ladies first.
Well, I mean, all that I know really is this is one of Cameron's friends. He is a part of this. So, Jeremy, if you want to tell your side and how you got into this.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you. I got about 10 minutes. I'm one of the news producers at one of the local news stations, and we did a story on a student that lived in Rusk. He was an event went down in one of its at Rusk High School, and so we sent one of our news anchors down there to do a story on it. And so we heard the story, and you know, we have all the information in the computer. So after the story, I'm like, that's really interesting. I need to get to know this kid. So sure enough, you know, I look him up on Facebook, and we start talking. And then I felt like there was just a bond right then. I mean, we talk all the time. It's just, I mean, it's amazing what one voice can do to change something. I mean, I'm very blessed to be a part of this ministry. So, I mean, God does amazing things, and God led me to this ministry, and I'm very thankful for that.
How do you feel about, like, what's going on? Like, the whole, you know, everybody getting attacked by the freedom from religion, the whole school being attacked. Like, what's your take on this? How do you feel? Are you mad, angry, sad, hurt?
It's hard to see somebody get offended by a scripture in a hallway of a school, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's for something, you know? It's just trying to send a message out to people. It's just a sad deal that, you know, somebody would come and attack us and take it down from us, you know?
Right.
And as far as Freedom of Religion Foundation goes, I mean, I don't know really what to say about them, to be honest with you. It's just one of those things, you know.
Well, how do you feel, Jeremy, about the fact that, you know, you can't have your Christian faith anymore in school? It can't be displayed. The Christians are who are coming under attack. I know Tiffany was sharing a lot about this in our previous show. But just the attacks on Christianity itself and the anti-Christian bias in education and what's going on with that in our country, how does that make you feel?
Well, I'm currently in college, and I'm starting up an organization that's actually called Take a Stand for Jesus, because I can see people hurting in our schools, you know. You don't see posters in the hallway about, you don't see scriptures in the hallway like you should, you know. I mean, you don't see organizations at my school, I'm sorry, like you should. And, you know, I had a pretty good response. But, you know, seeing people suffer, not knowing God, and, you know, people going out and doing bad things, you know, when they could come to know God, you know, I mean, it's a sad deal. You know, all of us want to help people to get we all want to help people to get to know God, you know, and that's one of my goals to do. I mean, it's a sad deal, you know, to see people struggle with it. But my goal is to get as many people to come close to God like I have. I mean, I've already had multiple responses on this organization I'm starting up, and I'm very blessed that I've got a sponsor for it now, and we're fixing to get this up and going, and we're fixing to put God, I feel like we're fixing to put God back into my school, and I have strong faith in that.
Oh, and see, the thing that a lot of people know, we were founded on Christianity. Like, that's the whole reason we even left and came over here. We wanted religious freedom, and the fact that, you know, people are saying, oh, well, that's not the reason we're over here. We're over here for other reasons, you know, just blowing it off like it's nothing. Like, that aggravates me so much. Like, I just want to, honestly,
right.
I want to punch my face. But,
yeah,
I have a picture of the poster right here. So I went and Googled it. So the poster said, of the gospel, because it is the power of God, this poster is illegal in 51 countries. And the irony is, in all of this, that not only is that very accurate, but the very nation, the one place on the planet that we used to actually jump for joy and have great pride in, was this was the one country you could do this in. So, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it's like cross out 51 and put 52. You know, this is exactly what your own country is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not, I mean, just things aggravate. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, you feel like you can't do because you feel like you're alone, but you're really not. That it's just the fact that you want somebody standing there with you, like, going through this with you. You don't want to do it alone. And I think that's what most people are scared of. Like, I know I'm terrified. I'm terrified just to go to the grocery store by myself. So doing something like this by myself is just, it's hard, but it's something that's got to be done.
It's the one thing I totally not only understand, but I think the reality, if you all sit with it, is that really it doesn't matter to you if others stand with you because you're standing for them when they won't stand for themselves.
Right. Like I said earlier, people are scared. I know most teenagers are scared to do something for themselves that's for the good. If it's for bad, you know, the drugs and alcohol, they're like, oh, hot dog, let's go for this. But, you know, something like this, they don't want a part of.
Well, Tiffany, that's why we're trying to give you guys a voice so that we can start connecting all of you guys together. You know, we may not be together in person, but God gave us the Internet. And he gave us phones, and look at what we're doing today. This is going out all over the Internet. So,
and
your Facebook pages, and we, of course, want you to link all of your stuff to our Operation Jericho Facebook page, too. So that all has to be done. But this is why we're doing this radio show, so
can
that you guys can start having a voice.
Can I share just a quick story with the young folks here just to tell you that, because I'm not sure you're fully cognizant of how many people you touch even before you come on this radio show. But I went to a funeral recently for a friend who was a very great patriot, friend, father, you know, just really a great man. And a couple of years ago, he finally accepted Christ and was baptized. And so I knew he and his wife had found a spiritual home in a church near where they lived. And what I wasn't aware of was, until I went to his celebration of life, was how many people he touched. And all the people that came, it wasn't necessarily, he didn't touch them necessarily because he was this great activist. What he did was he was sharing the word with people. He walked around with this Founder's Bible. He talked about God and stories of the faith of our founders and, you know, how many of the words from the Bible exist in our Constitution and things like that. And a young man got up to give a little testimonial about his relationship with Ron, and he was a guy from one of our colleges in our Central Valley. And we had really supported him because they were having this onslaught of stuff happening at his college, and he was the guy that was standing up at college. And the story he told wasn't because, you know, people came and Ron helped him, you know, become a better activist or fight these things. It's because he shared the word of God with him. And Ron, who really loved this Bible and spent a lot of time, you know, had it with him always. It was really a prized possession. And it wasn't a cheap Bible by any means. He ended up giving it to this young man, Neil. And so Neil has now accepted Christ. So I walked away from this event and
hey,
with this knowledge that these, you know, a lot, he touched a lot of people's lives, and that's what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go ahead, you guys.
I cannot wait till he gets college because I just feel like, you know, the movie God's Not Dead. I was just going to ask, guys,
have you seen the movie God's Not Dead, and are the youth going to that movie, your guys' age group stuff?
My youth went, actually, we went Saturday, the day after it opened here, and you would not believe how many people was there. I mean, there was literally lines out the door just to see this movie, and people were buying tickets in advance, and it was ridiculous crazy. Like, there's so many people, and there was people from my school there that I would never expect to see at a movie like that. You know, there's just some people you don't associate with Christian movies, and the fact that one of them was there, actually a bunch of them.
Hey, Christine. Hey, Tiffany, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy. Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have to go. I only had like 10 minutes to speak with y'all, so I thought I'd jump on real quick.
Well, Jeremy, do you have any closing thoughts for us, honey, before you have to take off?
Well, just say good luck to y'all and Tiffany, and good luck with what you're doing. And, you know, you're making a change, and, you know, God loves that. And, you know, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. And me and Kim and everybody else here are going to be doing the same thing, you know. We're creating beautiful things every day.
That's right. We're all in this together, you know. We're God's army.
Yep.
And we're on the move.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for taking your 10 minutes, honey, to join us.
Thank you for allowing me to come. I have to do it some other time when I get more time.
Absolutely. We'll have you guys back on for sure.
All righty. Well, God bless, and y'all all be safe.
You too, Jeremy. God bless, and thank you.
Be careful.
All righty. Bye-bye. I will. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's keep him in our prayers. He's out there fighting fires, people, so we need to keep him in our prayers. Go ahead, Tiffany. You guys were talking about the movie, God Is Not Dead.
I cannot wait until I get to college. I just feel like something like that's going to happen again, but like in real life. I mean, just the fact
And what is that? For those that haven't seen the movie, without giving away the movie. Cameron, did you see the movie?
Yes, ma'am. Whenever I went to see it, I won't give any details, but after we thought there were two showings, after we got out of the first showing, we ran into some people, some friends of ours, that they were going to see the movie as well. Well, anyway, my dad and I decided to pack up all of our T-shirts that we still have. We packed them up into my mother's Honda Pilot, and we drove to Palestine, Texas, to watch this movie. And after the show ended, there were some, I guess, students. I guess they were from the local area. They were asking about the shirts and the bracelets that we had. Well, the bracelets, they're red rubber bracelets, and they say "Take a Stand," and they have James 3:17. I wish Jeremy could have gone into detail, but Jeremy, he was the one that created those bracelets for this ministry.
Oh, wow.
And they were asking, they said, hey, can we get some T-shirts or can we get a bracelet? And I was like, absolutely. And so I think we gave out about 10 or 15 T-shirts and about 100 bracelets that night. But, I mean, yes, the movie, it was a great movie. And for those that, I guess, they don't call themselves Christians, or they just choose not to be a part of any religion. It is a great eye-opening experience.
Exactly, it really is. I mean, I have people at school.
What are
that...
your thoughts on the movie? Your thoughts, Tiff, on the movie? What touched you to where when you go to college you think something like that's going to happen again?
Just the fact that somebody actually stood up, like. You see more people standing up now. I mean, there's not a ton of us, but there's more standing up. I feel like there's more atheists out there that are going to be in the schools teaching stuff, and somebody's going to be like, look, you know, I'm wrong. I want to prove you wrong. I want you to believe like I do. I want to help you. And I just feel like something like that's going to happen, and I just hope I'm there to...
Well, if that's what God has for you, you will be. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys a quick story about this, the movie. Actually, the actor, the star of it, Kevin Sorbo, because it's very appropriate to this. So, would it surprise you to know that Kevin Sorbo is a Christian? and he's a very outspoken Christian. And he and his wife and his kids live here in California, and we work with his wife on education stuff from time to time. But she had a blog over the weekend she did about the fact that a major professional newspaper in Los Angeles that reviews, like, movies and stuff, reviewed that particular movie. What they declined to ever mention was the star of the movie, which was her husband. And she feels like, and it's pretty much well known, that they did that because he actually is a Christian. Evidently, it's okay if you play a Christian, but to actually be a Christian is something else. So even in today for that movie, you're still seeing people. And she stood up and did a very unpopular and very public thing, which was to call these people out and say, you know, you can keep doing this, but it's not going to change who we are. I just thought I'd share that with you.
I don't really understand myself why they try to hide these things. Like, it always comes back out. Why are you trying to deny something that's going to eventually come out? I mean, why hide things? It's so much easier if you just let it happen. I mean, it's going to happen regardless. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You ain't going to stop it. So what's the point in trying?
That's right, and what does God say? What's hidden shall be revealed. If he wants it revealed, it's going to be revealed.
And there's a lot that needs to be revealed to open some people's eyes, in my opinion.
Oh, Tiffany, you're so right, honey. What do you think some of those things are? What would you like to tell people that they need to see, that they need to open their eyes to see? You and Cameron, what do you think people need to see? What is it you'd like people to wake up and see?
The way that, like, I mean, I feel like if you look at teenagers, say teenagers, okay, you look at teenagers from back in the day, you know, back in whenever we first became a country, I mean, honestly, I feel like none of the teenagers are really like these drug heads, drinking, smoking, getting pregnant. I just feel like none of them were really like that. Now, these days, Christian or religion in itself has been thrown out the window, then teenagers have to feel like, oh, well, it's okay, I can do this. I can do whatever I want to, you know. God forgives us, so if I go and party Saturday night, I go to church Sunday morning, all is going to be forgiven. And, like, I mean, honestly, yes, he does forgive you, but, I mean, I just don't feel like you should do that. If Christianity was a part of our school and we were allowed to speak religion, then, you know, we wouldn't be in this situation. You wouldn't see teenagers going to jail and teenagers getting drunk and wrecking and getting pregnant and everything else. It's just, if they would open their eyes and see that that's why we've changed, because we don't have religion anymore, then maybe it would save at least somebody's life or keep somebody from, you know, getting pregnant and having an abortion or killing somebody on the road from driving drunk.
We've lost our moral compass, haven't we, Tiffany, because we've taken God out of everything.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to ask. So it seems like all the values of the people who founded this nation, that for 100 years prior to that, all these people that were living, you know, the life that they always wanted, which was free from government control over the religious practices, the doing away with all of that has actually dealt a really hard blow to our young people. They don't have the same standards or responsibilities that even in my day going to school that was expected.
And if they would do so much, I mean, honestly, I didn't think there was that much out there. But even if you do a little bit of research, there's so much that you would find on the Internet that you would not believe, like how we started and why we started and the morals and the views of, you know, our founding fathers. Everybody would honestly be shocked if they took the time to look at it. I mean, we were founded on Christianity. That's the whole reason we're here, and the fact that you're taking that out of our schools is ridiculous.
It is. Well, because we brought that up on our last show, Tiffany, about, you know, the Congress, our Congress at the time printed the first Bible in English, and what was the purpose of that? To use it in the schools. To teach you to read so you could read the Bible. That was our Congress did that, and look at us today.
Yeah, they only taught you to read so you could read the Bible. It wasn't like, yeah.
And people are forgetting about, you know, the great allotment, you know, the big nationwide revival. I mean, they forget mm-hmm. about the stuff honestly important. And they just don't take
well,
the time
they to. Choose to. They choose to forget because, you know, there's a conviction. You know, when you have God, there's a conviction of sin. And
right.
so we have a lot of people that, well, unfortunately, we have a lot of people running our country now that don't believe in God. And
well,
so
but
therefore,
there's a responsibility, too, that if your belief and your acknowledgement in reading the Word, there is a personal responsibility that comes upon you that, like, I think no other thing does.
Right. It's the conviction of the spirit when you're doing these things. I mean, you were talking about the kids that go out on Saturday night and party and think they're okay on Sunday. Well, you know, eventually sin leads to spiritual death. So it's not that God will forsake you. It's that you forsake God because you can only play in sin so long before it takes you over. And that's what we're seeing happening to the children. But unfortunately, it's the adults that have driven this into the kids.
Also, I think it's what? I think it's the adults who are saying that, oh, you know, he forgives you. You can do what you need to and mm-hmm. just pray about it, you know. Just ask
mm-hmm.
him to forgive you. Forgive you. And that's just not the right way to live.
Like, that's not what God says either, is it?
Right.
Right. Cameron, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I wish, like, students would realize that God, that he's here for you, and that God, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. I mean, he's there for you, because I know so many students, and Sunday night we have these things called small groups, and it's about between 3 to 6 people, and you really get into deep discussion about personal things in life. Well, one of the topics was homosexuality, and I have nothing towards that, nothing offensive, I mean, but the thing is that I have friends who are, they are gay and they are homosexuals, but what really broke my heart and just brought me to tears was that I said, but why are you a homosexual? And they said, I was born this way, and that's not true. They weren't born this way. What 95% of the time of what happens is that whenever they're young, they're either molested or raped by, like a girl is molested by another girl, or a male is molested by another male. And then they think that that's okay, and they think that, and then they're, psychologically, their mind likes that. And that's why they refer to it as being, I was born this way, which they weren't. And I know that that's a major sin, and that's not accepted by God. But you have to love. I mean, this is my point. This is my point of view. I love everybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't have any hatred in my heart, because I messed up one time. One of my closest and dearest friends. I mean, I love the brother with all my heart. Well, we got into a fight one night, and he went racing with some of his friends in his car, and he had a wreck, and he didn't make it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I just lost one of my closest friends. And, you know, what really tore me up inside was that I never mentioned the name of Jesus to him. And that was way before I was ever, I guess, verbally uplifted to tell people about Jesus. And I never spoke to them about Jesus. And now, honestly, I don't think he was a Christian, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I mean, it was a terrible moment in my life. But like I said, people that are gay, I have nothing towards them. I'm not offended by that, but I don't love it either. I'm not here to say, hey, that's good. It's not good. But
you can love the person, but you don't have to love the sin.
Yes, absolutely. And like I want to say, hey, I'm here for you, and I don't love what you're doing. I love you, but I don't love what the sin you're committing. But I have a way
to help you. And my hand's here. I'm offering you my hand to help you. Any time you want to take my hand, you can. And but I mean, I really wish students and just kids would realize that, hey, there is a God there, that He's there for you, and He will listen to you. And sometimes the answer will be no. Like, say you have a question, or say you pray for safety within your family. Well, like, here's a really good example. I was my freshman year of high school. I lost my great grandmother. Well, my sophomore year, I lost my great grandfather, and I was like, I questioned God so much. I was like, God, why did you take them from me? And I was heartbroken, because I would go visit them, but whenever they would tell me stories from their childhood or they'd give me advice, I would never listen to them. I would just let it go in one ear and out the other, and I regret that to this day. But there was one thing that my great-grandmother told me. She said, Cameron, always have good proper etiquette, and always, always take your hat off in a building. Any building. And so anywhere that I am, I take my hat off in a building. Yes, I have terrible hat hair, but I stick to what my grandmother told me. And that's what I remember her by, which I remember her by a lot more, but that's one of the major things that I remember about her. And as well as my great-grandfather, he said, Cameron, he said, there's going to be a time in your life whenever you're gonna start a family, and it's going to be rough. It'll be like a roller coaster. You'll go up and down. But he said, never stop caring for that child, and never stop caring for your kids. He said, put your kids first, put your family first, but overall put God first in your family and in that relationship with your wife and your kids, because without God, it's just going to be a total wreck. And I said, and like I said, once that time comes, whenever I do start a family, or just a relationship or a friendship, I will put God first in that friendship or relationship. And there have been times when I haven't, whenever just with friendships, and it's gone downhill. But there have been times when I have put God first, and it's been glorious.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. It's doing it God's way instead of the world's way. And the more we can, share this and hopefully get it out to your peers. You know, we want to share this radio show with so many, so that they can hear you guys, and then, hopefully they will join in. This is the whole point of this, is to try to get, us hooked up with the younger people, so that, we can start standing up for them, but they can start standing too and feel comfortable that there's somebody standing there with them. They're not standing, as Tiffany was saying, they're afraid to speak because they think they're alone. Well, they're not alone. And here we are, and you know what? Where we are right here, the Lord is with us. And so we just invite as many kids, as possible to join in, because we're all in this together.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. Isn't that right, Tiffany?
Yes, it is. Most definitely.
Yes, it is. Well, you guys, we're coming to the end of the show, so I'm just really blessed and Dawn, I know both of us are just blessed to listen to you guys. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful experience listening to you, and we're going to do this again. So, Tiffany, do you want to share some last thoughts with the audience?
Honestly, just do your research. Find out why we started. Don't take anybody else's word. Like, make sure they have backup. Make sure they have facts, and do it yourself. And don't let your friends go without saying something to them. If you know they're not following the Lord and they're not saved, just say something to them. You never know when you're never going to see them again. You may have an accident. They may have an accident. Just don't let yourself get in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Don, do you have any closing thoughts? And then I'm going to ask Cameron to close us in prayer.
No, I just want to thank you. I want to thank Tiffany for doing this show every month and doing such a fantastic, I can't believe this is only your second show. You're really quite the professional, and trust me, I do this every week, and you're doing it so much better than I do. And Cameron, the fact that you picked up this place in time, to be the person who stood up, who stood in the gap. That is so profound, and I know you are going to touch so many more people than either of you will ever know. And you need to know that now, because the only thing I missed about my friend going is that I really hoped before he went, I know he knows now, but I wanted him to know before he went how many people he touched. So I want you guys to always keep that in mind. Even if you feel like you're standing alone, you really aren't. And so I just want to say thank you. I want, from the nation, from my faith, from my heart, from my families, I just want to thank you.
And I'll ditto that one. And, you know, listeners, really, it's time for us to really listen to these kids, because it's going to help us make the future secure for all generations to come. And we would ask you to share this show, the podcast, with many. Put it on your Facebook pages, post it everywhere, so that we can begin to listen to the voice of the voiceless, our younger generations, to better understand how we can secure their future freedoms and liberty. That was the original intent of our founders, and we need to help these kids bring this nation back to that original intent. And that was Tiffany's paper, too, that she wrote when she was attacked by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. So just we hope, listeners, that you will share this, and we thank you for joining us tonight. And join us again next month for City on the Hill's Voice of the Voiceless with Tiffany. Cameron, would you be so kind as to close us in prayer today?
It'd be my pleasure. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. You've given us another day to stand up, to wake up, and to go preach your gospel, Lord. There's so many wonderful and numerous ways that we can preach your word, Lord, and this is one of them. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity to speak on this radio show. This is just, oh, it's just a blessing to my heart and to my family. And I just want you to prepare Tiffany and Jeremy's hearts for battle, for spiritual battle, because it's going to be an awakening, and it's going to be tough. But, Lord, with you on our side, nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Everything is possible. And I want to thank Christine and her friend for preparing this for us, because without them, this wouldn't even be happening. And like I said from before, whenever we put you first, Lord, everything will go positively, and it'll have a very great outcome. Even if there is a negative effect at times, it will have a great outcome. And I just want to thank you for this ministry, because with this ministry, Tiffany and Jeremy's ministry and my ministry all combined, there's no telling what can happen. And once again, I just want to thank you, and I want you to keep us in your prayers, all of us. Keep our minds structurally sound and spiritually sound. Let us think before we speak whenever we preach your gospel, and whenever we are praying, Lord, let us just be at peace, and let us have calm hearts and calm minds. Just let us speak from what's in our heart. And I love you with all my heart, and I'm sure everyone else does as well. And just for all the listeners out there, I want to say thank you for listening to what we had to offer and to tell you today. And it really blesses my heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you've certainly blessed our hearts, and I hate to let you guys go. I've enjoyed this so much. So, praise God, we're going to do this again, because we have a lot to talk about. So, listeners, again, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed our show today. Go on, share the podcast, and we'll see you next time on City on the Hill. God bless all. Goodbye.